In a world dominated by test scores and standardized metrics, Shane Safir's street data arrives as a revolutionary manifesto for educational transformation. This groundbreaking work has been hailed by education luminaries like Christopher Emden as pathbreaking and urgent, with many describing it as essential reading for anyone committed to creating more equitable schools. The book's popularity has exploded among progressive educators and social justice advocates, with its concepts being integrated into professional development programs across North America. What makes street data particularly powerful is how it reclaims the very concept of street, traditionally used pejoratively, and transforms it into a source of wisdom, authenticity, and transformative potential. As Beyoncé might say, sometimes the most valuable insights come not from the boardroom, but from the streets where real life unfolds. For decades, American education has been imprisoned by what Safir calls the test and punish era, a system that has fractured communities while failing to improve outcomes. Despite billions spent on closing achievement gaps, American student performance has flatlined since 2000, while countries using less high-stakes testing continue to outperform us. The problem isn't lack of data, it's that we've been collecting and valuing the wrong kind. Street data represents a paradigm shift in how we understand educational success. Unlike traditional satellite data, standardized test scores, attendance rates that hover far above classrooms, or MAP data, literacy assessments, surveys that provide slightly more detail, street data is qualitative, experiential information gathered at eye level. It emerges from human interaction at the ground level with those at the margins. This approach isn't just about new metrics, it's about fundamentally reimagining education through a decolonizing lens that honors non-Western ways of knowing. Street data centers on human experience rather than numbers, focusing on what's right in our students and communities rather than what's wrong. It illuminates biases, microaggressions, and barriers to learning while providing real-time feedback that enables responsive action. The concept parallels the emerging corporate idea of thick data, qualitative, ethnographic research that uncovers people's emotions and stories. Tech ethnographer Tricia Wang contrasts this with big data, noting that standardizing processes often strip data of meaning and context. Her experience with Nokia demonstrates how ethnographic insights about consumer behavior in China were dismissed because of small sample size, despite their cultural accuracy. What makes street data revolutionary is how it integrates four often siloed elements: equity as the fundamental purpose, pedagogy as the fundamental pathway, adult culture as the vehicle, and street data as the GPS system. Unlike traditional approaches that separate qualitative and quantitative research, street data offers a practitioner-driven framework for conducting qualitative research in service of equity-centered school transformation. To truly transform education through street data, we must first examine how our beliefs about learning and equity have formed. Western epistemology values empirical, measurable knowledge while rejecting spiritual, social, and story-centered forms of knowledge. This approach emerges from a larger Western framework that classifies societies into categories, condenses complex images through representation systems, provides standardized comparison models, and establishes evaluation criteria against which others are ranked. Scientific colonialism occurs when knowledge about a people is centered outside their lived reality, leading to ahistorical analysis and deficit thinking. Our educational data system, with its focus on achievement gaps, grades, and subgroups, reflects this Western hierarchical approach. The very metrics we rely on are deeply entwined with histories of racism, exclusion, and even eugenics. Indigenous and Afrocentric epistemologies offer powerful alternatives. Holism integrates all aspects of learning: emotional, heart, spiritual, spirit, cognitive, mind, and physical, body, informed by ancestral knowledge to be passed to future generations. In this knowledge system, well-being, not incremental metric progress, is the ultimate goal. The relational worldview sees life as harmonious relationships, where health comes from maintaining balance between interrelating factors, contrasting with the linear, temporal European worldview. Accountability means public responsibility to the community, not to disembodied state entities. Similarly, Afrocentric epistemology roots knowledge in spirituality, communalism, cooperation, ethics, and morality, with liberation of the mind at its center. Imagine if schools operated from this holistic perspective, evaluating success not just through test scores, but through students' sense of purpose, community connection, and overall well-being. What if curriculum honored ancestral wisdom alongside academic content? What if accountability meant responsibility to the community rather than to distant bureaucracies? This paradigm shift would fundamentally transform how we understand educational success. Despite good intentions, many educators fall into what Safir calls equity traps and tropes, patterns that undermine meaningful change. These include doing equity, treating equity as tasks rather than a whole system change process, siloing equity, isolating equity work in separate teams, equity warrior, relying on a single champion, spray and pray equity, one-off trainings without ongoing support, and navel-gazing equity, self-reflection without systemic change. Other traps include structural equity, redesigning systems without cultural shifts, blanket equity, investing in programs rather than people, tokenizing equity, burdening leaders of color without proper support, superficial equity, behavioral shifts without deeper understanding, and boomerang equity, reverting to status quo solutions despite equity analyses. These traps persist because we often treat complex equity challenges as merely complicated problems. Complex challenges have solutions that cannot be known until action unfolds. There's no algorithm or set of steps to follow. Examples include creating truly inclusive DTRACT classrooms or building collaborative cultures where BIPOC staff feel valued and authentic. To escape these traps, educators must develop awareness of white supremacy, the global system conferring unearned power and privilege on those identified as white while disempowering people of color. This awareness extends to understanding intersectionality, how various identities and systems of oppression interact, implicit bias, subconscious associations causing feelings about others, and stereotype threat, how performance of marginalized groups decrease when facing the psychological threat of being viewed as inferior. Other traps include structural equity, redesigning systems without cultural shifts, blanket equity, investing in programs rather than people, tokenizing equity, burdening leaders of color without proper support, superficial equity, behavioral shifts without deeper understanding, and boomerang equity, reverting to status quo solutions despite equity analyses. The heart of the street data framework is the equity transformation cycle, ETC, a fluid yet structured process grounded in core values of radical inclusion, curiosity, creativity, and courage. Unlike Western improvement models seeking simple cause-effect relationships, this approach acknowledges unpredictability and features bi-directional arrows between phases, allowing practitioners to move fluidly as needed. The cycle begins with listen, deep listening to the least heard and most marginalized voices in a community. This isn't merely gathering data, but engaging in a physical, emotional, cognitive, and spiritual act. The Chinese character for listening combines five elements: the ear, eyes, undivided attention, heart, and king, illustrating that true listening encompasses what is said, unsaid, seen, perceived, and felt by both listener and speaker. Next comes uncover, probing street data collaboratively to identify root causes of equity challenges. This requires slowing down and resisting the urge to jump to solutions. The critical mindset here is curiosity, setting aside preconceptions, checking confirmation biases, and maintaining wonder about what the data reveals and doesn't reveal. The reimagine phase invites breaking free from constraints that have incarcerated the imagination in education. With voices from the margins centered and root causes identified, educators can radically reshape pedagogy, leadership, and school culture, but only by bringing diverse perspectives to the table. This means involving everyone from kindergartners to LGBTQIA students to younger BIPOC staff who may not hold formal leadership positions. Finally, move requires acting with courage despite inevitable resistance. As Frederick Douglass wrote, if there is no struggle, there is no progress. Solutions to equity challenges emerge organically through continued street data gathering, root cause analysis, and reimagining systems and structures. Consider how this approach transformed one middle school's response to a persistent achievement gap between high-achieving students and African-American students. Rather than immediately implementing new programs, the principal's team conducted empathy interviews with Black focal students about their literacy experiences. Analysis revealed a crucial theme, the connection between oral tradition and academic conversation for African-American learners. Students expressed feeling most comfortable in classes where they could share ideas but lacked opportunities to do so. This insight led the school to focus on academic conversation as a key area of culturally responsive pedagogy, a solution that might never have emerged without street-level listening. Traditional education measures success through standardized tests, grades, and college acceptance rates. But what if we're measuring the wrong things? Safir proposes redefining success through student agency, the capacity to take action, make plans, and make informed decisions based on knowledge. Agency flourishes in learning environments where power is distributed, knowledge democratized, and diverse perspectives welcomed. The agency framework includes four interconnected components: identity, valuing students' core ways of being and knowing; mastery, building knowledge and demonstrating understanding through authentic means; belonging, creating environments where students feel seen and loved; and efficacy, developing students' belief they can make meaningful differences. This approach contrasts sharply with traditional schooling that often alienates marginalized students. Research shows one-third of California students cannot identify a single caring adult on campus, a devastating indictment of our current system's failure to create belonging. Creating true belonging requires addressing systemic racism and classroom micro-interactions rather than superficial heroes and holidays diversity approaches. Implementing this vision requires shifting from a pedagogy of compliance that positions teachers as knowledge depositors and students as passive recipients to a pedagogy of voice that centers street data through dynamic dialogue and rich student work. Six simple rules guide this transformation. 1. Talk less, smile more. Shift cognitive load to students while creating emotional safety. 2. Questions over answers. Foster cultures of inquiry where curiosity thrives. 3. Ritualize reflection and revision. Become an expert coach rather than an expert lecturer. 4. Make learning public. Create authentic audiences beyond just the teacher. 5. Circle up. Arrange classrooms to signal equality and community. 6. Feedback over grades. Provide meaningful guidance that promotes growth. Imagine walking into a classroom where students sit in a circle deeply engaged in discussion, where the teacher primarily asks questions rather than delivering answers, where students regularly reflect on their work and revise it based on meaningful feedback, and where learning culminates in public presentations to authentic audiences. This is the pedagogy of voice in action, and it transforms not just academic outcomes, but students' fundamental relationship to learning. Transforming individual classrooms is powerful, but creating system-wide change requires coherence, a shared depth of understanding about the purpose and nature of the work that goes beyond organizational charts or strategic plans. Three crucial elements of coherence are focus, knowing where we're going as a community, holism, accounting for emotional, spiritual, physical, intellectual, and cultural dimensions, and well-being, the integration of mind, body, spirit, and identity. One powerful tool for building coherence is a graduate profile, a concise articulation of what every graduate should know, understand, and be able to do. Effective profiles are simple, six or fewer categories on one page, visual, inclusive, student-centered, authentic, equitable, and actionable. They point the community toward a pedagogy of voice and provide a local framework for deep learning. Performance-based assessment systems complement graduate profiles by providing authentic ways to demonstrate learning. High-quality performance assessment elicits evidence of skills and knowledge that matter, remains tight on quality criteria while open to different approaches, maintains authenticity, and offers learning experiences in themselves. For marginalized students especially, portfolio defense provides a container for self-authorship, honoring voice and story. One Latinx student named Yvonne used an Aztec warrior slingshot metaphor to frame her high school journey during her portfolio defense. 7 years later, she still remembers exactly what she wore and where each adult sat, a stark contrast to standardized testing experiences. Now thriving professionally after graduating from UC Berkeley, she credits the process as essential preparation for college and life beyond K-12 schooling. The path to educational transformation requires moving from fragmentation to coherence. Like equity, coherence isn't a destination, but an ongoing collaborative process requiring dialogue and alignment. A well-crafted graduate profile simplifies complexity by identifying essential competencies students need to thrive. This is what you need to focus on. You just need to get good at these things. Similarly, performance-based assessment shifts focus from content coverage to depth, empowering marginalized students as learning agents. One Latinx student named Yvonne used an Aztec warrior slingshot metaphor to frame her high school journey during her portfolio defense. 7 years later, she still remembers exactly what she wore and where each adult sat, a stark contrast to standardized testing experiences. Now thriving professionally after graduating from UC Berkeley, she credits the process as essential preparation for college and life beyond K-12 schooling. One path to educational transformation requires moving from fragmentation to coherence. Like equity, coherence isn't a destination, but an ongoing collaborative process requiring dialogue and alignment. A well-crafted graduate profile simplifies complexity by identifying essential competencies students need to thrive. This is what you need to focus on. You just need to get good at these things. Similarly, performance-based assessment shifts focus from content coverage to depth, empowering marginalized students as learning agents. For students to experience a pedagogy of voice, educators must experience similar transformative learning. The principle of symmetry suggests that what we want for students, we must provide for educators. Yet many districts remain tethered to satellite data dashboards instead of street-level student experiences. Public learning mobilizes a pedagogy of voice for educators by acknowledging complexity and creating conditions for adults to deeply learn in service of their students. This practice elevates curiosity, awareness, and care by continuously highlighting the social-emotional capacities required for deep learning. It assumes adults, like students, must continuously learn about themselves and reflect on their growth. The power of public learning is illustrated through a computer science team's collaboration. Using video recordings of student interactions as street data, a teacher named Sam examines his teaching with vulnerable honesty. Through his colleagues' thoughtful questioning, Sam realizes he's been robbing students of their thinking by providing too much direction rather than fostering independent problem-solving strategies. The symmetry is striking. Sam learns how to support student independence precisely because his colleagues allow him the space for productive struggle. Vulnerability is essential to resisting white supremacy culture in education. By embracing imperfection, multiple ways of knowing, openness, and power sharing, educators can break cycles of shame that affect both teachers and students. This stance requires tolerating uncertainty and emotional exposure while stepping out of comfort zones. Though challenging, especially for educators who faced blame or isolation, vulnerability creates space for healing and authentic transformation. When leaders model vulnerability by sharing their own professional dilemmas and uncertainties, it signals that they're learning alongside teachers, fosters symmetry of practice, and develops empathy. This practice not only demonstrates vulnerability, but also provides rich street data on teacher perspectives. The final piece of the street data framework addresses how to build an anti-racist, anti-bias adult culture in schools, the essential foundation for meaningful implementation. The Warm Demander framework helps develop this culture through four interconnected principles. Believe in the impossible. Have unwavering faith that every educator can improve and grow. Build trust. Develop deep relational capital through consistent actions. Teach self-discipline. Communicate and maintain high expectations without compromising standards. And embrace failure. Actively model and encourage a growth mindset in all interactions. When addressing bias or inequitable practices, Warm Demanders employ a carefully structured three-part approach. Show strength. Interrupt defensive reactions to center marginalized experiences while maintaining professional relationships. Listen and affirm. Practice deep, empathetic listening that aims to understand and relieve suffering. And challenge and offer a choice. Call people in and up rather than calling them out, providing specific pathways for growth. One particularly effective technique is focusing on impact rather than intent. When someone claims they didn't mean to cause harm, Warm Demanders skillfully redirect them to take responsibility for their impact while maintaining their dignity. This might involve asking probing questions like, "How might this situation look from the student's perspective?" or "What assumptions might be influencing our response?" Challenging questions can help reframe thinking. What's another way to see this student's behavior? What's getting in the way of building this relationship? Or how might our own experiences be shaping our interpretations? The Warm Demander consistently moves toward responsive action by offering concrete choices and manageable steps forward. For example, after addressing a teacher's low expectations for certain students, they might suggest specific strategies like, "Let's try implementing these higher-order questioning techniques," or "Could we co-plan a more challenging lesson together?" They affirm the person's capacity to grow while never compromising student dignity or accepting deficit-based explanations. This approach recognizes that equity isn't merely contained in policies or strategic plans. It lives inside each educator and manifests in every classroom interaction and leadership decision. Each moment offers an opportunity to be an anti-racist educator who actively centers marginalized voices and experiences. Warm Demanders understand that transformation happens through sustained, intentional practice rather than single conversations. They create safe spaces for educators to examine their biases while maintaining clear expectations for growth and change. The framework emphasizes that being a Warm Demander requires both emotional intelligence and tactical skill. Knowing when to push, when to support, and how to maintain high expectations while building authentic relationships. Success stories might include turning around resistant veteran teachers, helping well-meaning educators recognize their implicit biases, or building coalition among staff to support school-wide equity initiatives. Street Data offers a revolutionary framework for transforming education by centering the voices of those at the margins, embracing holistic ways of knowing, and building agency through a pedagogy of voice. This approach rejects the narrow metrics that have imprisoned our educational imagination and instead focuses on what truly matters: human experience, well-being, and liberation. The journey begins with deep listening to those whose voices have been silenced or ignored. It continues by uncovering root causes of inequity through collaborative analysis of street-level data. It advances by reimagining current approaches with diverse stakeholders at the table. And it culminates in courageous action that transforms classrooms, schools, and systems. Throughout this journey, educators must avoid the equity traps that undermine meaningful change, embrace vulnerability as essential to growth, and act as warm demanders who call people in and up rather than calling them out. They must build coherence through shared vision, performance-based assessment, and public learning that models the very practices they hope to see in classrooms. As Denise Augustine reminds us, deeper learning requires deep listening, trust, and action. We must trust those we listen to, acknowledging they know best where their learning needs to go and where their attention should be focused. And we must act on what we learn, moving forward with clear vision and full hearts, embracing bravery, boldness, and vision rather than clinging to the status quo. In a world facing unprecedented challenges, from pandemic recovery to systemic racism to climate change, street data offers a path toward educational transformation that prioritizes relationships before rigor, connection before content, human data before metrics, and healing the wounds of oppression. It invites us to imagine schools where every student's voice matters, where learning connects to lived experience, and where education becomes truly liberatory. As Adrienne Marie Brown reminds us, there is no blank canvas or empty land, but rather complex, ancient, fertile ground full of potential. The seeds of transformation are already present in our communities. We need only listen deeply enough to hear them. The street data approach isn't just theoretical. It provides practical tools for gathering and analyzing qualitative data that can drive equity-centered transformation. These methods include empathy interviews, 30 to 60 minute one-on-one conversations following the 90-10 listening rule, co-generative dialogues, informal conversations between teachers and small student groups, equity learning walks, classroom observations that include students as observers, student-informed curriculum design, student-driven professional development, and student-led conferences. These approaches share a common thread. They center the experiences of those most impacted by educational inequities and create spaces for their voices to guide transformation. They recognize that the people closest to the problem often have the clearest insights about solutions. Safe-to-fail experiments provide another practical tool: small 4 to 6 week hacks that disrupt business as usual and generate fresh street data. Examples include mindfulness meditation to address discipline issues, listening circles for staff healing, student-led anti-racism campaigns, story-sharing practices, removing power symbols like desks, positive parent phone calls, and cultural wealth teach-ins. The beauty of street data is that it's accessible to everyone, regardless of position or resources. Any educator can begin by simply listening more deeply to students, examining patterns in classroom participation, or inviting feedback through empathy interviews. Any school can start by bringing student voices into professional learning, or creating spaces for teachers to share vulnerably about their practice. The journey toward educational transformation isn't easy, but it's essential. By centering street data, the qualitative, experiential insights that emerge at eye level, we can create schools that truly serve all students, especially those who have been marginalized by our current systems. As the book reminds us, listen deeply, trust the people, act on what you learn. The future of education depends on our willingness to do exactly that.